I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Dustin, my darling, yes. How was your weekend?
My weekend was incredible. Another fantastic weekend. My birthday actually was this weekend, so it feels good to be a little older and a little wiser.
Well, you look just like a spring chicken.
I sure do appreciate it. You know,
just
we're expensive right now.
Exactly.
These eggs and chicken and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Very much so. I saw somebody say that for Easter this year, these kids getting Skittles.
Okay.
They ain't getting no eggs. Anybody got no egg money? The hell's wrong with you? I love it. I love this time of year. I'm just so excited. Everything feels fresh and new, and it's just giving.
It is giving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my manager, she has a beautiful son that's almost a year old.
Yes.
Now she had his Easter picture. She found a photographer that had like live. So he had in his Easter pictures, there's live chicks.
Like I was gonna say, actual little.
A live bunny. Like it's the cutest. Just they have
so
many.
You gotta
so
love these
many
rich parents. That's what this. Because, you know, honey, we was at the Walmart.
We were at Best.
Remember when you could get a whole photography package for $12.99?
Okay, I could see the little poses now. But they have so much available.
Yeah.
To make raising a kid really fun.
Really fun.
Really fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love to see that.
To your point, when we see our friends with young kids and, like, the way they can do holidays, like the pumpkin patch things and the scary houses all the holidays, it just hits different.
He had a 6-month birthday party where the cake was designed to look like it was half of a birthday cake. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, and that's very cute, but you know, you and I, we depart on this issue. You will indulge these children to the high heavens.
You know me.
You will.
You know how I will. My baby, listen.
Oh my God.
And don't you come on and bring a little bouncing baby in here if you want to. I'm telling you now,
I'm getting the baby everything. Don't get no idea from your Uncle Dustin.
That's
over
right.
Here. You got to work at 6, bitch. Got to bring a checkup in this house. Like I did. That's why I was doing them damn Piggly Wiggly commercials. Ain't no free lunches up in here.
Anyway. Okay.
Better ask your grandma.
Okay.
Okay. With that said, this is a fun docket today. I'm really kind of mixed bag. So this story caught my eye. We know that the Cheryl Lee Ralph, the dame that she is to the industry, she is having her moment as really overdue.
Absolutely.
You know, let's be clear about that. But as a part of her enormous press cycle that she's been having since she won her Golden Globe and her Emmy and all the things, she was recently on Angela Yee's, I think her new radio show, Way Up.
Shout out to Angela Yee.
That's it. Cheryl Lee Ralph was on with Angela Yee, and she was sharing about her brilliant, prolific career.
Mm-hmm.
And she just made one comment around an alleged TV judge that sexually assaulted her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe Brown got in his feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk with you, Dustin, around what to do and what not to do when you feel as if your name may have been invoked in some shit.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, what Joe Brown did was what not to do.
I would think so. Because ain't nobody said nothing to you.
And nobody even said your name,
no,
sir.
No, ain't nobody said nothing to you.
Child, we'll get to him. Also, this mystical, and I'm just giving it all this energy because, you know, I was born in Louisiana. I have a special place in my heart for this Southern rap culture.
Absolutely.
You know, just all of it, the hot boys of it all, the Manny Fresh of it all, the Chop Chop Chopper style of it all, the Wheezy Wayne,
all of
Please
it.
Say the Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that era just means something to me. So to see what is happening with Mystical, and really has been happening with Mystical for a very long time now, is just, ugh. But justice is justice.
Yeah.
So if his ass need to be in prison, so be it.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into Mystical. Specifically, he has recently asked the court to put a gag order in place as he faces yet more rape charges and allegations. And I actually know what was interesting to me about that, Dustin, is the crosstalk between the lawyers. I know one of the attorneys involved in this case. I went to law school with her. She was a year behind me, and I graduated the same year as her sister. So we're going to get into that. A dope black female lawyer in the Baton Rouge area.
Okay.
But I also don't like it when lawyers move on from cases where they're fired or quit, and you still talking about that old case. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, let it go.
Like, what's Elsa said?
Yeah, okay. Let it go.
And then we're going to end the docket with this young lady. Don't get mad at me. Is it Lotto or Lato?
Lotto. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. As in she won the Lotto. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As in take off the M-U.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That used to be her name. And then she changed it because she didn't want to get canceled. But to her credit,
okay,
she handled it with grace,
okay.
And she said, "Oh, she didn't really understand.
She didn't
give any pushback when that conversation started.
Good. Look, yeah. Black History Month facts on April for mm-hmm. Ebony K. Williams. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was. Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Moniker. Yes. Now that you say that, and this is the update.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lotto. Okay.
There you go.
So she. she says she is. She says she is a housewife, not a gangsta. This is coming, of course, after an alleged completion of a gun arrest program.
Okay.
I was going to cite Love B. Scott on the source for this one. We'll get into all of this. Mm-hmm. I do remember her getting on social media around a gun, and it just was all sloppy.
Shout out to Love B. Scott. Shout out to B. Scott.
Indeed. My Tar Heel classmate.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start at the top. This is just the one I really want to get into. So, recently, the Cheryl Lee Ralph, was sitting down with radio host Miss Angela Yee on her brand new syndicated radio show, Up With Yee. The Abbott Elementary star, Cheryl Lee Ralph, of course, was talking about her business, her career, which has spanned over 40 freaking years, from Broadway to Hollywood to everywhere in between.
Yeah.
And in that, what has really caught headlines was Ralph answering a question talking about her most challenging experience when she was in show business. And her answer, Dustin, was something that happened while she was starring on the UPN. We all shout out to UPN.
Yes, UPN. What a time.
What a time.
What a time.
Want to be on top. Remember, that was UPN. That's it. All of it. Also on UPN, of course, the hit Moesha.
Mm-hmm. And I can hear the diary music now.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it brings back all the feelings. So Cheryl Lee Ralph, of course, played the mom on Moesha. And during that time, Cheryl Lee Ralph says that she had a really unfortunate encounter with an unnamed TV judge at that time. This is the quote from Cheryl. I'm at a very public place. I was suited. I had my suit on handling my business. And he and I were on the same network. This man grabbed me by the back of my neck, turned me around, and rammed his nasty tongue down my throat. And I can just hear it in her Jamaican accent.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Cheryl said that everyone from the network saw it and chose to do nothing. But New Orleans mayor at the time, Mark Muriel, was also, I'm going to get to Mark in a minute. Because let me tell you about Mark Muriel, baby. That's okay. A Seventh Ward Creole.
Okay, the people's champ, baby.
Listen,
you better
baby,
ask somebody.
Don't mess with it. If you know, you know. And I tell you that Seventh Ward Creole hit different.
That's right.
Okay. Mark Muriel said, hold the phone. He was also at the event, and he asked Cheryl Lee Ralph if she wanted to, quote, make a phone call and have the gentleman handled. I'm going to leave that there.
Yeah.
While the mayor stood up for her, the network asked, this is per Cheryl, asked her to not do anything or say anything about it because they didn't want bad press around their shows. Again, Cheryl Lee Ralph didn't name no names. She said nothing via that, but Judge Joe Brown quickly came forward with a threat to sue Cheryl Lee Ralph for defamation. I mean, this is from a tweet he put out on March 24th. There are false rumors being spread that I mistreated a certain lady 25 years ago. I categorically deny both the accusations and the acquaintance with the lady. Those rumors started with certain identified parties and spread. They ought, quote, cease and desist or contemplate a defamation action. A couple things. What's the saying? Don't come for me unless I send for you?
Yeah.
Is that Kenya Moore?
Yeah, well, she says it.
She said.
But you know, it didn't start with her.
Okay. Well,
you know where she got that from. Yes, you do. Think about it. Where do all of those
sorts? Oh, okay.
You know where
of
it
course.
Came from.
From the culture, from mm-hmm. the queer community. Okay, okay. I'm with you now. Well, anyway, Dustin says she says it.
Yes. Let's be clear.
Okay. That's going to apply here to Judge Joe Brown.
Right.
No one said your name, sir. Nobody even, Shirley Ralph of all people certainly did not imply you. I mean, I can think off the top of my head of about five television, and she didn't even put race into it. So she actually about seven or eight.
What she said was we were on the same network. Mm-hmm. And so of course people, you know, assumed that that's who she was talking about. But sir, you're a hit dog and you're hollering. Why?
Hit dog hollering. Perfect. That's the perfect way to put that. So I'm going to give you an example of what he could have done.
Okay.
Well, first of all, the best thing to do is say nothing.
Yeah. People got to start shutting the fuck up. And then this is also an example of being out of touch with what's going on. Mm-hmm. I know that Judge Joe Brown probably has not received a lot of negative, you know, comments, you know, in the social media spaces or whatever.
I don't know that that's true, but go ahead.
In this way, I'm saying. You know what I mean?
In terms of a sexual assault.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
So this type of attention coming towards him, right? Once people started putting two and two together and assuming that that's what he was talking about.
Ain't nobody said Joe nor Brown together in a sentence in about 15 years.
Why are you?
At least.
Why are you so quick to feel like you have to defend yourself?
Correct.
Shut up and sit down somewhere.
Pressed. And even if you wanted to say something, like let's just say you felt a way and, you know, there was a lot of narrative. I'm going to give you that. Like you said, Dustin, of people saying, okay, well, UPN, it must have been da-da-da. My new colleague, Judge Kevin Ross over at Entertainment Studios, which, you know, of course, we're launching Equal Justice with Judge Ebony K. Williams this fall. So Kevin Ross is a prominent black television judge. Attractive black man. And I think he has America's Court with Judge Kevin Ross. Kevin said this. I've known Cheryl Lee Ralph for a long time, and I'm a huge fan with the utmost respect for her as a person and artist. Mm-hmm. Just for the record, however, it wasn't me. but you guys already knew that, didn't you? Now, Kevin really could have said nothing either. But if you really feel the need to just make it unequivocally clear that it wasn't you, that's all you got to do.
That's all you have to do.
You don't have to thread nobody. You don't have to talk about a cease and desist. Cease and desist what? She literally didn't even really indicate you to me.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when you start doing shit like that, people say, okay, well, you want to play? Is there a statute? If, say, she wanted to, like, make that.
Well, yeah, I know what you're going with this. Now if Cheryl Lee Ralph had the time, which I'm sure she does not, because she's so busy.
Yeah.
But if she had a little
singing
extra
her
time.
Awards, accepted right, speeches
all
and
of
shit.
That, you know, probably getting ready to do another Broadway review.
Okay.
Because why not? When you're an original dream girl.
The one who she should have. My sister made a great point. Not
What's
to
that?
Get too
no,
far
go
off
for
the track.
Uh-huh.
She should have played Beyonce's mom in the film.
That would have been excellent.
Like, why didn't
obvious,
she do that?
Easy.
But anyway, go ahead.
They might not have had that bag right. Who knows?
It could have been that, too. Then there's that.
They might have blown the bag on Jamie Foxx and Eddie Murphy.
Then there's that.
But that was money well spent.
I still
need justice for Eddie Murphy with that Oscar.
He was literally robbed.
That was a highway robbery.
Didn't he leave the awards?
He did.
Yeah.
And on that, I'm not mad at Eddie because that was some bullshit.
Anyway.
Oh, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if she has some time, Dustin, sure, at this point she could say, okay, well, if we want to play that game, you know, you want to play stupid games and win stupid prizes, then now I'm going to go on record. And she could just put up a camera and say, yes, in 19 such and such and such and such, at this time, date, and place, such and such, such and such did this to me, and now what?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he or anybody was to try to say that is defamation or slander, her defense is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if indeed the facts follow, and Mark Morial was a witness to such things, and allegedly, according to the storytelling, that there were several other witnesses, now you've actually started something you cannot finish. Sir.
Now you have an issue.
Yeah.
Because you opened your mouth.
You started something.
For the second time, apparently.
Yeah, you started something you can't finish, and you invited what could be much, much worse for you. Because there's rumor and speculation.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, now you lied about me, so now I have to tell the truth about you.
Mm-hmm. I hate it when people disappoint me in this way.
Are you disappointed about your work?
I am.
Are you?
I am. I hate it. And no, I didn't. I'm a Judge Mathis person. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I did appreciate having these black judges in the landscape. You
okay,
know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, I'm going to get to them in a minute. Go ahead.
I hate to see this shit. I hate to see it. It's so disappointing. It makes me feel like, I don't know if it's just have because he's older.
Have you lost one of your childhood heroes here, Dustin?
I kind of feel like that. It's like when Jesse Jackson was on that hot mic talking about Barack Obama.
You know,
it's that sort of same feeling. Like, damn, nigga, you really that kind of motherfucker? Yeah. Damn.
I be telling you, we don't really be knowing these people. But, you know, that applies broadly.
Like,
that applies broadly. Well, here's the thing. I hear you about the landscape regarding and needing and holding reverence to black judges in terms of these syndicated daytime judges. And yes. But I'm going to tell you a secret, Dustin. I have always internally kind of cringed at a lot of these daytime judges. I'm going to tell you why. Because I feel like a lot of them, and again, I'm not naming nobody's fucking name. So if you hit right now, go on and holler.
And bitch, I ain't ceasing or desisting.
Right, because I'm standing on
what we said.
I'm standing on the evidence,
okay,
which is the episodes y'all done taped.
That's right.
The 50,000 episodes of your show. Some of these judges that look like you and me, I feel have sacrificed the integrity of the culture for the sake of a cheap laugh or a check.
Oh, man.
I do. I feel like I used to watch some of these shows, and one of the reasons I really don't watch most of them. Now there are some great judge shows. I think Judge Maybelline's show is fantastic. I think Judge Glenda Hackett has always been phenomenal. I
love Lauren Lake.
Lauren Lake and all that she's done in her brilliant, multifaceted career.
The book, Spice Up My Kitchen.
HGTV, singing. Baby.
Yeah, that's how
Property
I met
Virgins.
Her.
Same.
Was through Spice Up My Kitchen.
And I met her, I think, through Property Virgins.
We love Lauren Lake. Yes,
clearly.
Much love to you, Lauren.
Also, my new colleague.
Yes. Maybelline.
Lynn Toler.
Yes.
So there are plenty of iconic, influential black court judges, but some of the other ones, I do feel like allowed black litigants into their courtroom and kind of almost set them up as props for cheap jokes at the expense of black stereotyping. Why is everybody a crackhead? Why is everybody raggedy? Why is everybody ghetto? Like, you know, so I'm just, it's a problem. You know, I don't care who say nothing or feel nothing goddamn about it.
Okay.
I feel away.
You ain't gonna be coming over here calling nobody fools like you do in that bit. Your husband's a fool.
Yeah,
bam,
I think there's a way to get justice. I think there's a way, and just, I mean, we are in the TV business. I think there's a way to be funny. I think there's a way to have a compelling entertainment show that doesn't come at the expense of your own people.
I can't wait to watch it, and it's called what?
Equal Justice. With Judge Ebony. Right, and if you're listening to this and you feel a way and you want to see how that's done,
Tune in.
Coming to a TV syndicated near you.
She can show you better than she's telling you right now. Okay.
That's it.
And she gonna show you. How about that?
That's that part. So,
well, now that you bring it up, you're right.
But that's just my perspective coming from a special place, Dustin.
I never thought about that because I always associated these shows. I always looked at
the entertainment
value.
Yeah, it's high octane entertainment.
But you're 100% right. There's an opportunity there.
Yeah.
To do it in a way that dignifies us and it legitimizes even the show type.
There's
a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I understand exactly what you're saying.
When you're coming into Judge Ebony's courtroom, I can play. You saw the trailer to my show, which was actually shot in Judge Lauren Lake's chambers.
Which
is beautiful.
And what a meeting of two of the most incredible women that I know.
It's such an honor for me because, you know, again, Lauren has really laid a pathway for black women in law like myself.
Yep.
So I'm just really honored. Pun intended, Your Honor. See,
that's right. See.
Okay, cool.
See?
Cornball moment of the show.
No, it's the please.
It's
okay.
Fun. You know, I love it.
And guess what? This your shit.
So it can be whatever
you say what
the fuck
you
I want.
There you go. Shit.
so silly. I just really believe, when you come into Judge Ebony's courtroom, as you saw on the trailer, which very few people have seen, you know, there's a way to be fun and pithy and play with people to a certain extent, but empower them at the same time.
Right.
Make them, you know, we gonna have a little playtime, but ultimately you in this court for a reason.
Yeah.
You here to be heard.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hear you.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna belittle you. I'm not gonna make you feel like shit. I'm not trying to make you feel stupid. Like, you know, I don't have to be tall because you have to be on your knees.
Right. That's a tattoo, by the way.
That's it.
Wow.
So that's
that right.
On that.
It's like Oprah and Jerry Springer. You know what I mean? Like that. Those are the parallels here.
And again, you know, it's something for everybody. Everybody, you know, some people like to get in the gutter with shit and they, you know, for the entertainment value is worth the payoff for them. Everybody's grown and makes their own decisions, Dustin. I just know, I guess when I came into television, mm-hmm. let me back it up. Mm-hmm. When I came into television, now over 12, 13 years ago, mm-hmm. mass media even, mm-hmm. radio was included in this. Podcasting, of course, mm-hmm. is included in this. Digital formatting is included in this. When I chose to take my spiritual gifts, and that's what they are, and leave the court of law, leave the confines of private courtroom practice, yeah. and go into the public sphere of media, it was with a very clear purpose and mandate, Dustin. Mm-hmm. I only do this work. I don't give a fuck about being famous or no goddamn blue check marks, which is why I didn't pay for that shit on Twitter.
Come on.
You know, I don't give a fuck about none of that, and you know this yes. about me. It is about the work and the humbled responsibility and privilege.
Come on.
That it is to represent blackness mm-hmm. in a highly visible way. Mm-hmm. And I'm very aware, Dustin, I'm acutely aware of the opportunity mm-hmm. that I get to have, that you get to have, that our peers get to have mm-hmm. as representatives for the culture. In many ways, Dustin, what we do is not that different than what they do in Congress.
Yeah.
Those are representatives yeah. elected at the ballot box to show up and represent the greater people. We are not that different. We have been chosen by God, by the culture, by various executives mm-hmm. and networks to be the representatives. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. It doesn't have to mean we have to follow respectability politics. But what it does mean is that broader narratives mm-hmm. around black folk, queer men, mm-hmm. women, mm-hmm. I don't know if we young no more, but whatever.
Damn it. Up in here, we're going to be today, God damn it. The young people.
The young people. You ain't doing this with you.
But you're right,
broader
though.
Narratives
you're right.
are being
you're
drawn.
Right.
Every, right. every time we open our mouth, every time we're in front of a camera or a microphone. Yeah. So I just come with that cognizant nature all the time. So when I see those of us, first of all, it's rare air we breathe. Mm-hmm. You can count on one hand how many black folks mm-hmm. have sat on a bench on these judge shows over the course of the last 60 years, because mm-hmm. the People Court been on a long ass time.
A long time, okay?
Since I was eating chicken noodle soup out the Campbell's with
okay.
the goddamn
since Judge Wapner.
That's it.
Okay.
Wap your ass.
Okay.
So because that is the rarest of air in terms of representing black authority
right.
in the legal space where we know so much life is lost yeah. and respect is lost and violent, deadly narrative around blackness, especially fucking black men, is born and bred. Yeah, I guess I just take that shit different.
Mm-hmm. And you should.
That's it.
You
yeah.
should. And it's personal for you.
It's
and it should be
for
personal for you. You dedicated your life to this sort of work.
Mm-hmm.
So to see it, you know, presented in a way that
just
is different.
It's different. And I'm okay with different,
yeah.
obviously. Who the fuck am
yeah.
I, right? It's this judge's show, this judge's. They do whatever they want with their platform. It's just, I'll say this. This is the same reason I did a reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sitting around here trying to hate on nobody else's hustle. Get it how you live.
Yeah.
But if I'm not going to get in the arena, to quote Brene Brown,
mm-hmm.
you know, then I can't say shit. So that's why I'm very excited about Equal Justice with Judge Ebony K. Williams.
I'm so excited, too. I'm happy
it's
for you.
It's time for Auntie E to get into
it's
the arena.
It's time, and it's time for a fresh perspective. It's time for people to experience that type of TV
mm-hmm.
in the way that you're about to
my
give
vision.
It to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's
from
different.
The optics,
yeah.
From the tone.
Yes.
Just, you know, it's been done a certain way for a long time. It has worked, you know, tried and true formulas are tried and true for a reason. But it ain't lost on me that certain networks are putting a kibosh on
mm-hmm.
that format.
Mm-hmm.
So if that format is to sustain, and I would argue this goes for reality TV shows as well, you know, how are we advancing the model? How are we pushing forward the development?
Mm-hmm.
How are we challenging consumers to stay with us
mm-hmm.
when they have so many options?
Yep.
When they have more options content-wise than ever before.
Yep.
You got to give them a reason.
Well, they have one now.
It's coming. All right. Well, now on a more somber note.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's nothing funny about Mystical and these goddamn rape charges, but I just can't help but just saying the name Mystical for me puts me back to a particular time and place. I'm gonna take you back in my time machine. I'm at the Treehouse Club.
Okay.
In Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I'm a strong 16
mm-hmm.
with a fake ID.
Good for you.
Which was really fun. So much fun. Freshman year of college at UNC Chapel
That's
Hill
right.
right here. And it was a sweat box amongst sweat boxes and some of the best times of my life.
Mm-hmm.
shaking it fast.
And watching yourself.
And watching myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mystical for me in a nutshell. And that whole era and everything. But unfortunately, he's on holding court today for a very different reason.
Yeah.
Mystical. And you know, I think I saw his unsung or some other tragic-ass documentary around Mystical. But he has had just a long... Because, you know these artists where you're like, oh, they meant so much at one time. Where are they now?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful who you ask that question around.
And somewhere embattled. This motherfucker, like, Mystical has... I mean, he just... I guess this is the episode of disappointments, right? Because he has literally been such a disappointment. Once you really started finding out.
For years.
Everything that he's been doing. Like, these are some serious.
He is a registered sex offender. Ugh. He is. Okay, so we're going to talk about where he is now, but let's talk about the current things. We're talking about the fact that he's facing new rape charges, amongst other ones. And he's asking the court to file a gag order in these ongoing rape cases to protect his privacy, is the allegation. This is according to new court docs. We're getting this reporting from The Advocate, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to The Advocate.
Yes.
Very important publication. So very recently, Dustin, just a couple of weeks ago, March 16th, documents obtained by The Advocate revealed that the New Orleans rapper's new defense attorney, Miss Tiffany Miles Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
This is the young lady I referenced in the open of the show. Tiffany and her sister, Miracle Miles.
Have we talked
Miles.
About her before on this show?
Tiffany? We might have.
There
might
know
have been
why
another Tiffany.
Okay.
But it might have been Tiffany. So Tiffany and her sister, Miracle Miles, come from a very esteemed black legal family in that community. Which,
legacy.
You know, I love
yes.
legacy, generational wealth, generational education.
Yes.
I can say this. Tiffany is an excellent lawyer.
Wonderful.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know her sister is a great lawyer. I know this about these two women.
Yes.
Moving on. Tiffany Miles Crosby filed a request for a gag order to be placed on his rape and false imprisonment case. This is all in Ascension Parish. It's right outside of Baton Rouge. The reason they want the gag order, D, is because of an inordinate amount of publicity, which I get, you know, this is going to be some shade, but it's going to be true. If this was like New York or L.A. or Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't buy an inordinate amount of publicity around Mystical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're really talking about Mystical.
Mm-hmm.
But in Baton Rouge.
It's still a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
I get that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Context is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if approved, this gag order would bar the attorneys from either side, prosecution or defense, from commenting on the case in any way. And that would include media, radio, television, or newspapers. Now, I'm going to talk about why that's a departure, because previously, Dustin, his previous legal team used to, very similar to how Johnny Cochran used to do, they went by the school of the trial starts before the trial starts.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And the trial starts in the court of public opinion,
mm-hmm.
and so be it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually tend to use the media to get in front of it, to
mm-hmm.
create narrative, to set up expectations. So this is a strong departure. Which is going to lead to some of this cross-talk these lawyers are doing later on. The gag order would also apply to all potential witnesses, law enforcement officers, who will either testify or potentially have witness to the case. It's just a mess, child. 52-year-old rapper Mystical, his real name is Michael Lawrence Tyler,
mm-hmm.
formerly of No Limit Records, has found his limit.
Okay.
Okay. I had to. I just had to do that. It's just
clearly
yes.
Okay.
He has been formally charged with rape along with 9 other criminal counts by a grand jury this past summer. If he is convicted, Dustin, this is not going to come with a mandatory life sentence, and that's
mm-hmm.
That's a combination of just the statutory law in Louisiana around the nature of these charges and also his prior long ass criminal record,
which is why for the life of me I can't even believe that they're trying to make a play like this. The court of public opinion in the case of Mystical has long decided mm-hmm. his fate. Okay, this conversation around rape charges
mm-hmm.
and things like that, sir, including his name,
yeah,
it's been going on for years. Like everybody knows this about him now. So why the gag order now?
And so great question. It's the same question that his old defense team is also asking, but they did it in a real nice, nasty way. It's what
Ooh,
mama would call
okay,
it. You know
okay.
that nice, nasty?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So according to All Hip Hop, shout out to that publication, prosecutors explained that the rapper who was allegedly, let's go through these facts of this recent case.
Okay.
They are horrific.
Okay.
All Hip Hop says that prosecutors explain this. The rapper was allegedly high on drugs at the time. He wanted to rid this woman, and this is, by the way, a woman he's known for over 20 years. This is not some new woman off the street. This is someone that he has been acquainted with for over 20 years. She is at his home outside of Baton Rouge. He wanted to make sure that she didn't have any bad spirits on her, that's in quote, on her body before the alleged rape occurred, which is why he, this was July 30th, by the way, he accused this woman, Dustin, of stealing $100 from him. She claims at that point he became so irate that he then physically attacked her, including pulling out her braids out of her scalp. Mm-hmm. He confiscated the keys to her car, her cell phone, and prevented her from leaving his home. That's the false imprisonment charge, by the way. Those are the elements of keeping her free to leave. She was only allowed to leave the home after she cash-apped him $150. She also claimed that Mystical threw rubbing alcohol on her and called for Hail Marys, which, you know, it's a really heavy Black Catholic community down there. So this kind of tracks, at least allegedly. And again, that was so that he could cast the sin off of her before allegedly raping her. She was upon her ability to be released after she digitally transferred $150 to his account. She managed to go to Baton Rouge General Hospital where she was treated for injuries. I mean, I don't know of a fact pattern more egregious.
What in the fuck is going on? Like, this is some crazy shit. Throwing alcohol on her to rid her of spirits before...
Making her cash app you money because you thought she took $100 from you. It's
what
all...
What kind of fucking drugs were they? Was he doing? Like, what is going on? That's literally what this sounds like.
Yeah, like some major hallucinogens. Yes. I don't... he had a possession of heroin charge as a
there
part
you
of
go.
This. I believe some opiate... False imprisonment, domestic abuse and battery by strangulation... Mm-hmm. Simple robbery, that's the $150, mm-hmm. possession of heroin, possession of methamphetamine, and illegal possession of Xanax.
Okay, so there you go.
That's a deadly combination.
Heroin, meth, and Xanax. Jesus Christ.
Just
and
say
now
no
your
to
life
drugs.
Is completely over.
Just say no to drugs, y'all.
Please.
They need to bring back Is Dare still in school?
No, Dare to keep a kid off of drugs.
That's
oh
it.
My goodness. I remember those
That's
assemblies.
It.
Yeah. And those
Shit,
t-shirts.
Shit, I got my t-shirt. Don't you better not fucking play.
I need a Dare t-shirt. Where are the Dare people
gonna
at?
I'm going to look it up after the show and get us some Dare t-shirts. Okay, now let's talk about these lawyers. Mystical recently dropped the longtime defense attorneys who, this is interesting, they had successfully represented him on earlier charges in northern Louisiana, in which prosecutors threw that case out before trial in December 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is still coming after some other convictions, though. Mm-hmm. So that's not like the beginning of his problems.
No.
If the gag order is granted by this judge, the motion would be a sharp reversal from the previous approach of his previous lawyers, as I mentioned. His previous lawyers, a guy by the name of Joel Peirce and Timothy Yazbek, okay? Mm-hmm. Those two lawyers, they used to always give these press conferences. I actually saw a couple of them. They would be at the courthouse right outside of Gonzales after the hearings and the case and, you know, plead their case. Like mm-hmm. you said, go ahead and open this thing up to the court of public opinion so that they could have control. They would argue control of narrative.
Mm-hmm.
They would argue that. They have accused the victim, these same lawyers, Joel Peirce and Timothy Yazbek, who were on this case, these nine counts, until recently. They said that this victim was doing a shakedown of money and, you know, this was all some BS. Peirce said that he recently received a short statement from Mystical indicating that he was no longer using his legal services but did not explain why. Which, I mean, okay, you don't have to give a reason. You at-will employee, Negro.
Right.
Anyways, though Tyler did not tell the court why he dropped those two lawyers, Peirce and Yazbek, his new lawyer, this is Miss Tiffany Crosby, has asked the judge to strike from the court record all of the recent motions that those other two lawyers have filed. That is not uncommon. You know, it's essentially like if I'm leading this ship now.
Get that shit out of here.
That's
let me
it.
Do this.
Let me do
yeah.
this. Well, apparently these two lawyers didn't feel good about it. Shocker. The motions that they had sought previously, Dustin, were to seek the mental health evaluations, the drug and hospital records of the alleged victim, and her cell phone data. They plan to argue that that information could have exonerating evidence for Mystical, prove his innocence. And they also were planning to bring a forensic expert in to look at her cell phone data. In the court papers, Tyler and his new lawyer, so this is Mystical and Miss Crosby, they say that these motions were filed without his understanding and that they are immaterial, impertinent, and scandalous. So that's the current position. But Peirce, the old lawyer, and Yazbek, for whatever reason, felt the need to comment. And they said that Mystical agreed with every step of the process previously. They said, in 31 years of doing this, I've never had a defendant file something as ridiculous as that. I guess it's done about him saying it was scandalous and he didn't know, blah, 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 blah. Peirce did end by saying that he hopes that Mystical prevails, adding that he has a winnable case. My thing with all of this crosstalk, back Monday morning quarterbacking of this black woman taking on this case now, it's giving desperate, it's giving tacky, and it's actually giving unprofessional. Mm-hmm. To me, it's bordering on unethical from a legal perspective. You're fired. You're done.
Why are you talking about
it? Why are you even talking about this? You know?
It seems as if they don't want anything to do with the case. So why are you now aligning yourself with conversations surrounding the case?
Yeah, I just, again, and the reason I say it's skirting on unethical is one of the most preeminent kind of pillars in legal practice is attorney-client privilege, which says that what I tell you as my lawyer remains between us always. So when you're talking about, you know, this is ridiculous, and he agreed every step of the way, you're kind of indicating aspects of his communication to you.
Yeah.
So just that's just a slippery slope, my dude.
I mean,
you know, just keep that player, as Dustin Ross would say, and pack your shit up, pack up your little briefcase, get out your feelings, and move on.
You think they're in their feelings because these black women, this black woman is coming through?
I think so.
Yeah.
I ain't going to even hold you, as Mandy would say.
Okay.
That's so cute when she says that.
Yep.
I do. I think that this is probably two kind of veteran white male celebrity go-to attorneys that are used to having a stronghold and a lock on these types of high-profile cases in this region, in this Baton Rouge, Parrish, Gonzales area. And now that it's Tiffany and Miracle Miles' turn, Tiffany Crosby's turn, to pipe up and lead the charge and be that warrior of justice on behalf of this particular black man and the black community generally, I think it's an issue. I do. And I'm going to go further. I think if the new lawyer was a white man, I don't think they would have said shit.
I believe that too. And I don't know none of these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
But per history, okay?
Yeah.
I believe that.
I don't think they would have felt they could say anything.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But you want a Monday morning quarterback this black woman's legal strategy. I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like it. And I don't care if you thought it was the most ridiculous thing in the world. And I'm gonna go on record as to say, I don't necessarily think it hurts anything to have had that forensic expert. But guess what? It's not my case.
Bingo. So we minding our goddamn business.
The ones that pay us.
That's right. And that's what they should do.
Yeah. So I don't like that. I don't like Monday morning quarterbacking this black woman. I don't like going behind any lawyer, to be clear, and questioning their legal strategy. She's on retainer, boo, and you're not.
That's it. That's the long and short of it.
Keep it pushing, counselor.
Right.
Now that you've educated me on the history of this young lady's moniker and name, I'm here to report that per B. Scott, Lotto says that she is a housewife, not a gangster. This is after an alleged completion of a gun arrest program. I remember all this going down on social, but let's run it back. Records show that Lotto was busted back in May of 2021. This is at LAX. Again, we saw this recently with Mike Epps. Y'all, it's nothing wrong with traveling with your firearm. This is America, and at least until today, we got this Second Amendment right of carrying firearms for self-protection. But it's a process. You got to check it. You got to look at TSA, and you got to look at the jurisdiction you're flying to. To make sure that your shit is gonna be copacetic, if they still say that around here.
They do.
Okay.
And if not, we're bringing it back.
We're bringing it, running
back.
That's
right. Keep everything copacetic.
Keep it copacetic. Okay. So anyway, she was busted in May of 2021 at LAX. That's the airport out in LA, charged with carrying a loaded firearm and carrying a concealed weapon. She subsequently entered a year-long diversion program, which started in April of 2022. So that was about a year ago. So as you see here, this is typical, right? The arrest happens spring of 2021. A year later, she because probably what kept happening, Dustin, was it was coming up for settings, court appearances.
Yeah.
It was getting continuances. Can we work out a deal? Well, let's take it to trial. Let's not. Da, 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 da. Ultimately, this is a deal of sorts. When you get a diversion program, and I know a lot about this because, you know, I have a participated in a woman.
Ain't nothing wrong. That's right. Hey, shit.
You didn't know Auntie E was the gangster.
Okay. Look, you really ain't no gangster. You really are a housewife.
I really am.
A housewife
really
for real.
Right, both, bitch. Ain't nothing wrong with being both. I'm a gangster and a housewife.
Yes.
It works.
Okay.
Oh, God. This Monday here, doing way too much. Okay, so anyways, she supposedly entered this year-long diversion program, which started a year ago, April of 2022. Law enforcement officers, sources told TMZ that the program required her to complete a gun safety course and perform 120 hours of community service. And then she would avoid all the firearms. Oh, and, excuse me, she would have to avoid all firearms.
Okay.
So that's three components. And this is typically how diversion works. Diversion or deferred prosecution, they're interchangeable. All it means is the prosecutor is going to offer you an opportunity to either reduce in some cases or, in like my case, and I think is the case here, dismiss them outright. So you will avoid prosecution of any kind, but it comes with a catch, so to speak. Mm-hmm. There are things you must do to satisfy that. And if you don't do even one of them, all the charges will come back and you will face maximum prosecution. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. So she was offered to get her charges dismissed if she did the gun safety course, performed 120 hours of service, and avoided firearms. TMZ was also told that if she completes all of the requirements, both of those gun charges, again, carrying a concealed weapon and carrying a loaded firearm, they would both be dismissed.
Okay.
And by the way, there is a hearing set for late this April. So this is an upcoming hearing to see if she's satisfied all the conditions. Do I keep going with her facts or do I have Auntie E story time? If you recall on a recent episode of Holding Court, when we were talking about Cardi B successfully completing her diversion program, I told y'all a little tea about the fact that I thought the judge was playing when they had my original review date.
Now he told you, now look here.
He said, now look here, little girl.
You got one more damn time.
You got one more again to come in this courtroom without completing my requirements. And I had to go to that nunnery.
Yeah. Okay. My girl Ebony said, heard you.
BRB. Copied.
Okay.
Understood.
Okay.
All right. Back to Lotto. She pushed back on that claim. This is because that's what TMZ said. Lotto is saying, pump your brakes, TMZ. I don't know who put out that false ass information because I'm not in no damn program. Also, the situation happened over a year ago and y'all never even knew until I mentioned it in the Boom Part 2 verse. Nothing to brag about. Leave me alone. She also took to Instagram Live and claimed that she is a housewife, not a gangster, and that she has no reason to push any sort of tough image. That shit is blowing me, bitch. I'm just letting y'all know you got the story wrong. I'm not a gangsta, bitches. Never claimed to be a gangsta. I'm not gangsta, baby. Is this the verse?
No.
Oh, this is the IG Live.
No, this is the IG Live, yeah.
Okay, let me go back to read it then. Baby, I get money to fuck. I got it in. Who suck these toes every night? Oh, eat this ass from the back. Okay. I cook. I'm a whole housewife. I'm not no gangster. The fuck? Who wanna brag? I got multi-million dollar deals, like plural. Multi-million dollar deals on the table. The fuck? I'm not trying to push no fucking gangster image. The fuck? As a matter of fact, we kept that shit under wraps. That shit was over a year ago. We kept that shit under wraps. I mentioned it in a song because I was freestyling that verse and it slipped out my mouth.
Listen, if nothing else, look, I ain't mad at it, right? Lotto said that shit, look,
that didn't happen
whatever
like that.
Y'all thinking,
okay.
That ain't me, okay? I don't want to be attached to that shit. I don't give a damn what the record reflects, okay? I don't want that story on me. I'm not mad at that.
I'm not mad at it at all. First of all, if the facts are wrong, the facts are wrong.
Hey.
And she has every reason to talk about the fellatio and everything else. She's talking about the toes and girl, get it out there then.
Right.
Get out the truth.
Make your points.
Make your points.
I get what you're saying, you know.
I guess, you know, and I am biased here because I've been on both sides of the housewife gangster coin. it ain't nothing wrong with a diversion program.
Nothing.
I just want to put that out there.
Nothing.
That's actually called a dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
I know I stand before you never convicted of anything. Clean
okay,
record.
How about that?
And so I guess I just want to kind of push back a tiny bit on the this or that narrative,
yeah,
right? That
yeah.
if you did, if it was true that you completed a diversion program and that you completed a gun safety course and that you did community service. I mean, first of all, who doesn't love community service?
Yeah.
Okay, we should be doing it anyway.
We should.
And, you know, had this firearm provision prohibition, which was the terms of the reported diversion program. That doesn't mean you're a gangster either.
Yeah.
That actually means you're kind of the opposite.
Yeah,
that
you mean
cooperate. You're running from them charges. That's what that means. Because a gangster says, fuck it, judge, I'm pleading guilty. 10 toes down.
Yeah.
What it is. How much, give me my bid, let's be done with it. That's gangster behavior. From my experience.
It's the truth.
From my experience.
And she is totally distancing herself from all of that.
And that's fine. Because I understand some people don't even want to play with it.
Yeah.
So like she might be more like yourself, Dustin. She don't even want to do 15
it's
minutes.
It's so funny because she's on the remix to a new song called Don't Play With It. She's on that remix
okay,
right now, so maybe that is her mantra.
Her thing is like, don't mention my name with no charges, no program, no dismissal, no fucking
yeah.
class. And I guess that's her energy.
I guess so. She wants y'all to know she don't think that shit is cute. You know what I'm saying?
Clearly. She's
yeah.
like, I cook and clean and get my toes
get
lit.
Get my butt ate.
Right,
yeah.
And that's it. That's what I do. And that's, now, me, myself, you know, I'm more versatile.
Okay.
You know, I can see you on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. Or I can know? See you wherever I need
oh,
to
I can,
see you.
Oh, I can see you in class, bitch.
That's
What's
it.
Going on?
That's it.
What's going on, Your Honor? No, just playing.
You're so crazy, Evan.
I heard you. You said do it by when?
Okay. See you next time, because I will be here
for my
shit.
It's going to be the final setting, Your Honor. I ain't going to play with you no
right.
more.
And then you're going to get on your IG Live. I'm not a gangster.
I'm going to get on my IG Live and say, I'm not a gangster, and I don't want you to be either.
Okay.
Don't do like your friend, Auntie E. Do your shit on the first time the court asks, so you
okay.
don't get caught up.
That's right.
But yeah, that's interesting. Okay, now I'm glad you talked me through that, because
yeah.
I was confused.
I was too a little bit, but then I was like, but you know what, damn it, I actually get this.
I get what she's saying, yeah, and I'm just holding the space
yeah.
for those of us that want half in and half out the lifestyle.
And ain't nothing wrong with that, because I like, you know, I like a little,
you know.
You know,
I like to surprise people
you know,
sometimes.
But yeah, know. I was like, okay, Lotto is really saying to these people, like, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
I understand the type of music I make, but I'm not posturing as a thug.
Right.
That's what you deem a thug. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not even posturing with, nor do I appreciate you playing with my name
mm-hmm.
in association with any criminal justice
yep.
remedies.
That's straight up.
At all.
And so it's further to her point, so yeah. here's what she felt like they needed to know about her. I'm actually, you know what I'm
this
saying?
Over here.
Doing these things while I'm in the crib. Okay, FYI. So I get it. You know what I'm saying?
I do get it.
I guess.
I guess I'm being sensitive because I don't want people that are in my community of graduates
mm-hmm.
of diversionary
right.
programs.
There's no DP
to feel,
shaming here.
No, yeah. Deferred prosecution.
Yeah.
Diversion programs.
All of that.
Are for winners in life.
You goddamn right.
It's called a second chance.
It's for people who handled their business and saw
and
it through.
Yeah, yeah. We were able to just, you know,
yeah.
avoid that cautionary outcome. But it doesn't mean you're a gangster. That's
no.
all. We just won't have any shame around
and
that.
And damn it, we're not going to. Because, you know, we come from all walks of life.
That's it.
Okay? And ain't
mm-hmm.
nothing wrong with, you know, having to figure things out at some point
some
in your life.
Some people have to turn it around, Dustin.
They do. And there's all that. For real. And we laugh. And shit, but there's
yeah,
something honorable
real.
For people who pay their debts in whatever way they
Absolutely.
Need to and are accountable. You know what I mean?
I really feel that in my being, and I guess that's kind of why I'm spending some time on it. I know that we have friends and mutual acquaintances
yes.
that have, you know, had to pay their debts to society
for sure.
A variety of ways. And I guess I just don't believe in shaming it, because especially once you've paid the debt, the debt has been cleared.
And that's it.
And now we're moving on. And I don't want anybody to carry, and especially because I used to work with, when I was a public defender, I would work with a lot of my clients who were coming off the back end of their convictions or release or whatever. And like, we would do mock interviews
mm-hmm.
for when they would go in for employment opportunities. Because
mm-hmm.
9 out of 10 times, that's going to be one of the conditions of your probation or your parole
you
or your release.
You've
got to have a damn job. Because your parole officer is going to beat up your ass.
Absolutely.
And so we would do these mock interviews, right? And then, you know, they would be like, well, I'm a convict or I'm a... You are not a convict. That is not your identity. You are not a felon. Mm-hmm. That is not your identity. You are a man. You are a woman. You are an individual who committed a felony, mm-hmm, and has learned your lesson, paid your debt in these particular ways, mm-hmm, and now you are looking to do this in life. Mm-hmm. You know, so the framing around that, I do think, is something we should just kind of be mindful of.
I completely agree. I have friends.
I know she ain't talking about that, but, you know, we advance in the conversation.
Exactly. This is what that led us to,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
I have people who are close to me in my life who have been incarcerated.
Sure.
Who, you know, and that's not a... It's not a preferred circumstance, but
it doesn't define them.
It's not defining.
Yes.
And people need to detach that stigma.
Correct. That's not your identity. You committed a felony. You might have been convicted, mm-hmm, but that is not your identity. That is not a moniker you should have to carry.
And speaking for myself, mm-hmm, right, there's an order here. Like certain crimes, you, mm-hmm, know, certain things are not... Now, if you're molesting children, raping women, things fucking with old people, you know, those are the things that you can't excuse. You know what I mean? But if you made a mistake, if you made a bad choice, a bad decision, you know, and this is how it turned out for you, that's not the end of your story. And,
sure,
and you don't deserve to be shamed eternally for that.
And
you
can choose another lifestyle. And for the record, I'm going to wrap this shit up with that housewife shit ain't all it's cracked up to be either.
Hi, Ebony K. Williams, who's still thriving and working, mm-hmm, and was Ebony K. Williams before,
mm-hmm,
and is even more Ebony K. Williams, mm-hmm, after.
And I mean that housewife shit in all the ways. I've been married, divorced, engaged, broke that shit off, been on the show, been without the show.
any iteration of the word, okay?
Next.
Housewives, yeah.
Yeah.
Great for who it's for, you know what I'm saying?
And that's it. And great for some.
That's it. But other people have stories that exist beyond that
station
in life.
That's it.
You
and
know?
Again, in all the iterations of Housewives.
For real.
I love that, Dustin.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a nice little way to end this one.
I think that's a perfect button, mm-hmm, for the show.
A nice little button. Mm-hmm. Button it on
Or like
up.
The old folks say, fasten it. You can
fasten it.
Fasten the button.
Baby, reach around there and fasten the back of my dick. Y'all, that's going to be it for this week's episode of Holder Court. Join us next week, but Court will be back in session. In the meantime, y'all, stay safe. Keep the faith. And Dustin, what would you like the people to do?
Read your terms and your conditions, please, people. Please.
Holding Court is an Interval Present original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.